White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
Well, howdy, boys and girls. It's Terrible Tommy, Hate-Filled Tommy, back here again. I'm always amused when they talk about hate, because hate's really supposed to mean intense dislike. If you look it up in the dictionary, you'll see intense dislike. Well, what's wrong with that? There's all kinds of things you intensely dislike, all kinds of people you intensely dislike, don't want to be around them or anything like that. So, but they accentuate this verb, hate. I guess it's a verb. I never was very good at English. They go crazy about hate. But hate just means intensely dislike. That's all it is. Yeah. Well, today is the 10th of October, 18th day of 2016. And yesterday I said it was Tuesday. And it was Monday. You probably detect that every once in a while I do that. That's because my brain is addled. Now, we've started a new thing here. We'll see how it goes. You can send your funds and donations into Google Wallet. And on our email form, it explains how to do it. But if you have any trouble figuring it out, you just go up to the internet and get into Google Wallet, and it'll tell you all about it. If you have any problems, to send your donations to Terrible Tommy. Since PayPal has been such a jerk, which we never did get explained to us what we did to get kicked off PayPal, so screw PayPal. You know, preachers are not supposed to talk politics from the pulpit because churches are tax exempt and they get all kinds of goodies for free, so there's something to hold that down. That's called the Johnson Amendment. Now, organized religion wants to get rid of it. I think it's still in force, but they're trying to get rid of it. So they do it anyhow, because I've been in several churches that were holding political meetings, and they were preaching candidates from the pulpit. So we should support the Johnson Amendment, if you run into that in your travels. You know, I think I asked a while back, whatever happened to Danny Carver? Somebody might answer me, but I don't remember writing it down. So if you remember what happened to Danny Carver, if he's still alive, let me know. I'm just wondering what's going to happen to this Breitbart outfit with Stephen K. Bannon, who's supposed to be out there working on the staff of Donald Trump once Hillary gets into office. Yeah, she's going to get into office unless there's a miracle come down from heaven. I think they're going to try to build some big nationwide right-wing outfit again. Right-wing that hates racists, loves black people, loves everybody but us. In fact, they hardly ever say white on their show. Well, I see some poor white sap out in West York, Pennsylvania, who's the mayor. He had the audacity to think he was free, had the right to free speech and so forth. But the town council on Monday voted to accept the resignation of the Republican mayor after an uproar over racist posts on his Facebook page, including two depicting apes and captions referring to President Obama and his family. So what's wrong with that? That's just an opinion. One image of a wagon full of orangutans referred to moving day at the White House, another referring to lynching. So what's wrong with that? The West York Borough Council last week voted to censure Mayor Charles Wasco, who's white, but had no power to throw him out of office. It voted unanimously Monday to accept his resignation. Well, he shouldn't have resigned. Chicken shit white people. They get their ass in a jam. They say what they think. And then they cower down before the enemy. Democratic Council President Sean Mock, a Negro lover, will take over as mayor. Quote, I think Mayor Wasco missed a golden opportunity, unquote, Mock said. He could have come out and apologized, and that would have been a signature move forward. Never apologize. God damn it, never apologize. If you ever stop to think you're going to change this around and turn it around at all, you gotta refuse to get down on your knees to these bastards. You gotta fight them all the way on every issue. Until you get that through your simple white minds, nothing's going to change. I'm a racist, I'm proud of it, and if you don't like it, kiss my white ass, and I'm not resigning from anything. In fact, I'm going to run for higher office. No, just kidding. You know what happens in these deals? The guy's afraid he's going to lose all his friends. His wife's probably all over his ass. His kids are saying, oh my God, nobody will love us at school and all that kind of stuff. And that's what happens in these cases. But a man's got to be a man. He's got to stand tall. Yeah, he's got to stand tall. But there isn't one man in 100 that will. Well, I guess the mayor did have a little spunk. The mayor, Wasco, said he was a victim of a witch hunt, of course, originating with a fight over the acting police chief in the borough of 4,500 residents, about 100 miles west of Philadelphia. But in an interview this month with Harrisburg TV station, WHTM, he also said, quote, the racist stuff, yeah, I'll admit I did that, and I don't care what people label me as, unquote. He added that he did not regret the post referencing Mr. Obama, the nation's first black president. So there you go, this pretty good white boy. And he did it to try to get his former police chief, who they'd bounced out, get him back in the job. So he was trying to fight for another white man, a white cop. Well, this Russell Crowe, the actor situation, is interesting. I reported to you the other day about him, this black broad giving him trouble. Azealia Banks has filed a battery report against Russell Crowe following an altercation during a dinner party at his hotel room Saturday night. The rapper reportedly decided to go to the police because the actor is refusing to apologize and get down on his knees to her. As Gossip Cop reported, Banks allegedly on Facebook that Crowe called her the nigger word, choking her and spat on her during a fight at a party in his hotel suite. Well, what was she doing there anyhow? Russell Crowe, huh? You hang around with people like that, you get in trouble. Crowe had about 10 guests over for dinner, including rapper RZA, who brought Banks along. Oh, I see, she wasn't invited. But the actor's camp is denying any wrongdoing on Crowe's part, insisting that Banks initiated the altercation by insulting the actor and his friends before threatening to stab them with a piece of glass. He then physically removed her from his room after she grabbed a glass and immediately called hotel security, who kicked her off the property. It's also been reported that it was Banks and not Crowe who repeatedly used the nigger word. Well, Crowe, you hang around with these Negroes and wild-ass Negroes and you're going to get in trouble. Stay away from them, boy. I personally have no sympathy for anybody that hangs out with these crazy-ass blacks or mestizos or even crazy-ass whites. I just don't have sympathy. Well, what's going on with the Jews down in Florida? Florida Jews could tip the balance in the ultimate swing state. A few are switching sides. Zeb Libeskind and Murray Rutter, both in their 80s, made their way through the packed South Florida Expo Center until finally getting as close as possible to the stage. Shortly after, Donald Trump took the stage, energizing the two Jewish retirees and thousands of others in a 40-minute speech that featured a healthy dose of media bashing and forceful rebuttal of the sexual misconduct allegations that have surfaced. Quote, "Everything is wrong in this country," unquote, said Roeder. One of a handful of participants in the October 13th rally wearing a kippah. "The economy is going wrong. The large government is wrong. Foreign affairs is wrong. Our friendship with Israel is wrong." I can go on and on and on. Very interesting. "We want to see the United States stand up for itself," added Lipskin, trying to shout over the loudspeakers carrying Rudy Giuliani's warm-up speech. Trump's address that day was later widely criticized in the media as evoking anti-Semitic themes, leading to a call by the Anti-Defecation League to avoid rhetoric and tropes that historically have been used against Jews. Incidentally, I heard a guy in the middle of the night on the radio yapping as some Jew. He's all excited now. He said, "There is anti-Semitism now," and because Trump had talked about international banking. Didn't attack Jews. He attacked international banking. So the Jews admit they're in control of international banking, right? But for Trump's Jewish supporters at the event, these claims couldn't have sounded any further from reality. Anti-Semitism, that's a Democratic word, said Roeder. The Republicans are more for Jews than anyone in the Democrat Party. The quick exchange on the sidelines of a massive Trump rally demonstrates a great extent one of the deep divides of this election cycle. Jewish Republicans and Jewish Democrats find very little they can agree on. Jewish voters here divided into two camps with different concerns, different priorities, and different facts to back up their divergent worldviews. They live together in this ultimate swing state and have no common ground. The scariest thing for me is to think of him being in charge, said Rochelle Litt of Palm Beach Gardens, a staunch Clinton supporter and activist. With his temperament and the way he can make a rash decision, I'm really worried. Oh, like no president ever made rash decisions. How about Johnson and the Gulf of Tonkin, who illegally started the Vietnam War? And that's just a small sample. Where Trump supporters fear the country is declining, Clinton's Jewish backers think it's going in the right direction. And when Democrats cry foul over Trump's behavior, Republicans raise their eyebrows in astonishment. This polarization has triggered some unpleasant moments at the synagogue and around the pool, as political conversations have become just too loaded, especially for Jewish Trump supporters, the minority voice in this community. Quote, "We were on a bus on the way to see My Fair Lady," recalls Max Deutsch, who lives in Century Village, a retirement community in Boca Raton. Quote, "I was talking about how Hillary Clinton became a millionaire, and this lady says, 'I don't want to talk politics here.' It's because they don't have answers." But Trump's election rally, Jewish Republicans could finally feel at home. Deutsch showed up with his proud Republican t-shirt featuring a huge Star of David on the front. The woman next to him carried a "Jews Choose Trump" homemade sign and "Hebrews for Trump" stickers. I liked his speech. He related to the crowd. Deutsch, who heads the Century Village Republican Club, later said his neighbor Hilda, who asked to be identified only by her first name, was impressed with the energy of the event. The enthusiasm, it was palpable, she said. All the way at the front of the hall stood Sid Dinnerstein, a staple of Florida Jewish Republican politics, a former chair of Palm Beach County's Republican Party. Dinnerstein shares Donald Trump's view of the current lay of America, a country that's lost its direction, spiraling downwards, after years of liberal control. Quote, "The things we built, the schools, the communities, they've just been ripped apart over the years," unquote, he said. The Democrat Party became the anti-American party, culminating in Barack Obama's fundamental transformation. Similar descriptions are often voiced by Trump supporters. They hold a bleak view of America's future, fueled by a sense that modern-day prosperity has passed them by. But Dinnerstein is anything but disenfranchised. The interview takes place in his shiny Mercedes, parked at the fairgrounds VIP section reserved for party makers, Yiddish for movers and shakers. The donors attended the rally. Dinnerstein is a successful New Jersey businessman who moved south and now devotes his time to political and communal activism. Says he's not worried about himself, but for the future of his children and grandchildren. He is surrounded by his fellow affluent Jewish Republicans who believe in Trump. In fact, Dinnerstein has a Jewish friend and fellow Trump supporter who is also a member of the golf club at Mar-a-Lago, Trump's South Florida mansion, and the two plan to attend an election night party there. But he has little hope of swaying the masses of Jewish voters to see the light. "We got all we're going to get," he said, noting that the Jewish Republican vote will not break the ceiling of 20 to 30%. "The Democrat Party is a religion, and when you are Jewish, the Democrat Party is your religion," unquote. Dinnerstein is disappointed with the Republican Jewish Coalition Act lack of act of support for Trump, which he feels could help Florida's battleground. "They're in Washington, so they've been co-opted," he said of the group. "You can't be uncomfortable with Trump. He can say things that are beyond stupid, vulgar, and inappropriate, but try asking the Democrat if there is anything Bill Clinton ever said that they are embarrassed about, and they'll say no." A poll conducted in August by the Democratic pollster Jim Gerstein found that 66% of Florida's Jews intend to vote for Clinton and only 23% for Trump. The only Jewish demographic Trump was winning were Orthodox Jews, who favored him by a 66% to 23% margin. This, in a sense, confirms Dinnerstein's assessment. Jewish Floridians will be hard to move to the Republican side of the aisle. Palm Beach County, according to a recent study published by the Steinhardt Social Research Institute at Brandeis University, is one of the few regions in America where the Jewish vote could actually play a significant role. With nearly 210,000 people, Jews make up 15% of the county's adult population in a state that's decided in 2012 by fewer than 75,000 votes. So there you go. That's what the Jew boys are doing in Florida. Well, let's see what's going on over in the Middle East, besides American soldiers getting infected with nuclear waste material. It's not only going to kill them, it's going to drive them crazy. But nobody's caring about that. ISIS supporters are panicking about a battle for Mosul that's expected to start soon. Now, how do we know that? How many of these ISIS... I see it's supporters, not members. On the terror group's forums and social media accounts, supporters are calling on fellow loyalists to retaliate against Western countries involved in the fight and urging them each other to pray for victory against the international coalition fighting ISIS. Well, if ISIS was smart, they'd say, we'll surrender totally if you'll take all your foreign troops out of our countries. How about that? Turkish media quoted Kurdish sources as saying the U.S. military deployed east of Mosul and started hitting ISIS targets on Saturday. Iraqi accounts circulated images allegedly showing local Iraqi forces firing missiles on ISIS positions east of Mosul, and local Iraqi commanders visiting areas south of the city in preparation for the battles. But, sir, there's not going to be anybody left. There's supposed to be 1 million people in that town. You think any of them are going to be alive? I was talking to a nurse, and I went to see my dentist yesterday, and her husband's a Marine Corps groupie. He's been in the Marine Corps for a long time. He's about 51 years old. He wanted to go over to Iraq, and they told him he's too old. She was quite relieved, and I said, you should be. Now she has to deal with her son. He wants to join up and go do this wonderful stuff for the corporations. I said, told her, I said, do everything you can to keep him out of that mess. But Brett McGurk, a special presidential envoy for the U.S.-led coalition fighting ISIS, said the battle hasn't yet started. Why don't everybody just put their guns away and go home? I'm not a pacifist. I just don't believe in that kind of warfare. He tweeted late on Saturday that an operation will begin when announced by Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi. And you can trust him as far as you can throw him, too. Quote, anything said before then is premature, he posted. How about that? Isn't that sweet? Ain't he sweet? See him walking down the street. In anticipation for the fight, ISIS supporters expressed apprehension but also tried to keep morale high. They called on fellow supporters to roll up their sleeves and support the Islamic State as much as you can, while many others warned about the psychological warfare and called on supporters not to believe reports about the battle circulating in the news. Hundreds of posts on an ISIS forum also urged others to keep praying for the jihadists. Oh God, please send your soldiers from the sky to support the soldiers of the caliphate on the ground, several users repeated. Well, you know my position on this, I think. Not like the right-wing conservatives, that's for sure. Not even like the liberals, that's for sure. Others posting online ask God to help our brothers in Mosul and respond against the Crusaders' offensive, and said that the only way to support ISIS fighters is not through Facebook or Twitter or anything else, but by praying. Well, that's a waste of time. That's a waste of time. Another ISIS supporter suggested that the members will prepare for battles by creating pro-ISIS accounts on social media, saying, as you know, the beginning of the battle on Mosul will be a war on the ground, but also in the media, unquote. Well, that's partly a waste of time, too. The ISIS forum user asked for help in creating Twitter accounts to be used by ISIS supporters to spread propaganda. These guys got to understand that if they're not a guerrilla force, they're nothing. And to try to fight like an army, straight army, is ridiculous. Why do people keep doing that? White racists do it too. I don't know why, because they can't win that way. They got to fight with guerrilla tactics. They got to put it all into guerrilla tactics. I have nothing against the caliphate being created in the Middle East. They need it. It's the Western countries that took it away from them in the first place after the First World War. They took away something they weren't good to take. I mean, it wasn't theirs. They destroyed the caliphate and they destroyed all kinds of tribes and sub-tribes and everything else. All I know is we should be out of there. Get our troops out of there and let's have a plebiscite on this to where we can vote on it. We want out of the Middle East. Or I don't have any sympathy for what ISIS does to you. I don't care. That's my position. Have you seen pictures in the news of Mosul? It's a pile of rubble. There's a million people in there trying to stay alive. It's unbelievable. The war lovers and the warmongers are all around. I mean, even your local churches are yelling and screaming, oh, let's kill all the infidels. And on the other side, they're screaming it too. But let's remember, it was the Western countries that stirred all this shit up. It started with the First World War. And if you want to know what's going on over there, read more about the basis of World War I and what happened afterwards. It's all horse shit. Warmonger shit. But it does give the chance for the military-industrial complex to try out all their new weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, well, let's go have a war in Iraq or wherever, just as long as we keep the wars going. We need to test these weapons, these $35 million jets. Got to test these weapons on these people, because next stop is Asia. We'll be back in Asia pretty soon, maybe against China. They may have tried to make it a little war by going against North Korea. But the military-industrial complex of this country and the banking system and the crazies, they want war on war on war and war to keep going, never stop. Lone wolf terrorist attacks in Europe are becoming the norm, or so Islamist terrorist groups would like us to think. It's a reflection of how terrorism is less the concerted work of an organization or a structured group, ding, 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 and more worked out and initiated in the minds of individuals, ding, 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 inspired by those terrorist groups. The terrorist groups then claim responsibility afterwards in a bid to look powerful and omnipresent. However, the notion of a lone wolf attack is largely a myth. All attacks require planning and reconnaissance, taking up the time of more than one person. The terrorist groups want us to think they can hit us anytime, anywhere. Well, they can. It may not be a big hit, but they can do it anytime they want, on a smaller scale.
It doesn't matter what the freaking legal and ethics people say. We need to win this.
Hillary, like, is aware of all the work that you guys do, I hope.
The campaign is fully in.
And then they tell Hillary, like, what's going on.
Well, I mean, Hillary knows who Jenny Command.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting we wait around. We need to start this shit right away.
Okay.
On every one of these fronts.
Okay.
Well, I call this conflict engagement.
That's your version of re-enfranchisement.
Conflict engagement in the lines at Trump rallies?
No.
We're starting anarchy here.
This is part one of our undercover investigation into the dark, backroom dealings of the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign. The culmination of a year-long investigation infiltrating the machine from the bottom all the way to the White House. There are concerns this election will be rigged. What you're about to see will make you uncomfortable and angry. It's graphic, uncensored, and disturbing. Our attorneys say there is strong evidence of criminality, and this is just part one.
A lot of free union guys, they'll do whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You want, and they're rock and roll.
So I'm basically deputy graphic response director for the DNC for all things Trump on the ground. Nobody's really supposed to know about me.
You know what I'm saying? We have mentally ill people who we pay to do shit. Make no mistake.
It's going to be Cesar Vargas. Is his name.
I got a priest to cry on camera once.
You know, Brad and Bob and Lux and myself are all part of the old school method where it doesn't matter what the freaking legal and ethics people say. We need to win this motherfucker.
So Bob is really good friends with him and talked to him this afternoon. And they're all in. If we can get $25,000, they're all in.
There is a narrative that supporters at Trump rallies are violent and dangerous, looking to beat up protesters who don't agree with them. But our undercover investigation into the Hillary Clinton Democratic Party machine reveals a very different story.
If you're there and you're protesting and you do these actions, you will be attacked at Trump rallies. That's what we know.
So that's part of the process of eliciting the reaction.
The whole point of it is we know that Trump's people will freak the fuck out, his security team will freak out, and his supporters will lose their shit.
This is Scott Fogel. He is the National Field Director for Americans United for Change. He used to work for People for the American Way, an organization funded by George Soros. He also has his own company called the Fogel Group. He is one of the dark operatives for the Clinton campaign.
We have contracted directly with the DNC and the campaign. Both.
Yeah.
I am contracted to him, but I answer to the head of special events for the DNC and the head of the special events and political for the campaign.
The campaign pays DNC. DNC pays Democracy Partners. Democracy Partners pays the Fogel Group. The Fogel Group goes and executes the shit on the ground.
Democracy Partners is a private political consulting company with deep ties to Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama's White House, and the Democratic National Committee.
We are the primary mechanism as a team. Democracy Partners is the tip of the spear.
Wherever Trump and Pence are going to be, we have events.
Okay.
And we have a whole team across the country that does that, both consultants and people from the Democratic Party and the Democratic Party apparatus and people from the campaign, the Clinton campaign. My role with the campaign is to manage all that.
Bob Cremer is Democracy Partners. He is the husband of Jan Schakowsky, a Democratic congresswoman from Chicago, and in 2005 he pled guilty to tax violations and bank fraud. He was convicted and sentenced to 5 months in prison and 11 months of house arrest. He founded Democracy Partners in 2011.
Just for a little orientation, Democracy Partners is kind of a group practice of a variety of consultants that do essentially a wide variety of different kinds of political consulting.
I work with Bob Cremer one-to-one all the time. I'm the white hat. Democracy Partners is kind of the white hat. Bob Cremer is diabolical, and I love him for it.
Yeah.
This investigation has revealed compelling evidence of a dark money conspiracy, a violation of federal campaign coordination laws between Hillary Clinton's campaign, Priorities USA, Hillary's super PAC, and the Democratic National Committee.
We have a clip deliverable that we have to deliver every day for our groups of clients who are involved in these projects. AUFC, A4C, which is Alliance for Change, Alliance for Retired Americans, which is part of AFL-CIO. They're one of our partners on the AUFC stuff for Child Security. Depends on the issue. And then there's the DNC and the campaigns and priorities. Priorities is a big part of this too. The campaigns and DNC cannot coordinate with priorities, but I guarantee to you that the people who run the super PACs all talk to each other, and we and a few other people are the hubs of that communication.
Like, so you're kind of like intermediaries between the super PACs and the DNC. But the DNC can't talk to each other. Okay. But you guys are kind of like...
We're consultants, so we're not the official entity. Mm-hmm. And so those conversations can be had between consultants who are working for different parts. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why there's Bob, who's the primary there, and I'm a sub to him, and I'm also primary to AUFC separately. That's why.
So there's like a Morse code between the DNC and the super PACs.
It's less of a Morse code than it is a text conversation that never ends. It's like that. It's kind of like an ongoing Pony Express.
Okay, so, I mean, that's...
It's not as efficient as it could be, but that's because the law doesn't allow it.
The thing that we have to watch is making sure there's a double blind between the actual campaign and the actual DNC and what we're doing. There's a double blind there.
No, okay.
Since they can plausibly deny that they didn't do anything about it.
Scott Fogel is Cremer's attack dog. Fogel and his people train the agitators to go to Trump rallies, and nothing is left to chance.
There's a script.
Oh, there is a script.
There's a script.
Okay.
There's a script of engagement. Sometimes the crazies bite, and sometimes the crazies don't bite. They're starting confrontations in the line, right? They're not starting confrontations
the volunteers.
In the rally, because once they're inside the rally, they're under Secret Service's control. When they're outside the rally...
Mm-hmm. They're more affected out. They're harder to get in.
The media will cover it, no matter where it happens.
I assume it's always in the rally.
Initiating the conflict... by having leading conversations with people who are naturally psychotic.
Right.
Okay, I mean, honestly, it is not hard to get some of these assholes to pop off.
Right.
It's a matter of showing up to want to get into the rally in a Planned Parenthood t-shirt, say.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Trump is a Nazi, you know, you can message to draw them out and draw them to punch you.
Fovell boasts about the extent of his network of operatives.
So here, you have a schedule of events.
Mm-hmm.
We update this on an ongoing, rolling basis every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all the Trump appearances.
These are all the Trump and Pence appearances. Tomorrow, for instance, we are turning out 500 people in front of the Trump International in D.C. We have to have people prepared to go wherever these events are, which means we have to have a central kind of agitator training.
Yep.
Now, we have a built-in group of people in New York who do this.
Okay.
We have a built-in group of people in D.C. who do this.
I was going to say, are they localized?
We have a group of people in Vegas. We have a group of people in Colorado. We have a group of people in Minneapolis.
So I'm basically deputy rapid response director for the DNC for all things Trump on the ground.
This guy is Aaron Black. He works full-time for Cramer at Democracy Partners. He directs the spontaneous protests at Trump and Pence events. His real name is actually Aaron Minter. We don't know why he uses the name Black.
Nobody's really supposed to know about me. So the Chicago protest, when they shut all that was us. It was more him than me, but none of this is supposed to come back to us. Because we want it coming from people. We don't want it to come from the party. So if we do a protest and it's DNC protest, it's right away the press is going to say partisan. But if I'm in there coordinating with all the groups on the ground and sort of playing field general, but they're the ones talking to the cameras, then it's actually people. But if we send out press advisories with DNC on them and Clinton campaign, it doesn't happen.
We have to be really careful because what we don't need is for it to show up on CNN that the DNC paid for X people to. That's not going to happen.
So, me and I did the Chicago Trump event where we shut down. Delightful. Yeah.
Zulema Rodriguez and Aaron Black are bragging about a protest last March that turned extremely violent and led the Trump campaign to cancel a huge rally. Fights broke out between protesters and Trump supporters, and two Chicago police officers were injured. Based on our reporting, the event was not spontaneous.
We have a call to the campaign every day to go over the focuses that need to be undertaken.
I just had a call with the campaign and the DNC. Every day,
we met her at the Republican convention in Cleveland in July.
And then we also
Yeah, really?
This Clinton dark machine is also prepared for the fallout from the violence they foment at the Trump rallies and other demonstrations.
Because the one thing I'm never going to do is have some kid get punched out at a rally and then not have his doctor bill and his legal bill, if he gets arrested, pay for it.
Ultimately, the whole endeavor is to get negative press of Trump and his supporters in local and national media.
It's something that Bob and I obsess about. Is we're not going to go to an effort to just do an event and not have anybody show up or not have it covered. We have to get coverage.
These guys have been doing their dirty tricks for some time, even before Trump won the nomination.
So I probably know your work.
I know you do. Everybody knows.
But was the, you mean like a situation where it's sort of like a...
the Iowa State Fair thing where Scott Walker grabbed the sign out of the dude's hand.
Uh-huh.
And
then the dude gets kind of roughed up right in front of the stage, right?
Yeah.
On camera?
Yeah.
That's all us. The guy who got roughed up is my counterpart who works for Bob.
And that was storyboarded, that him getting roughed up or whatever?
Or scenario.
And you lent yourself to that situation and it happened.
We not only
lent self-fulfilling prophecy.
We planted multiple people in that front area around him and in the back to make sure there wasn't just a action that happened up front. There was also a reaction that happened out back.
Remember this woman? Her name is Shirley Teeter. She is a 69-year-old sufferer of COPD. According to numerous news stories at the time, she was assaulted at a Trump rally in North Carolina by Trump supporter Richard Campbell. The media played her story across the country for days.
She was one of our activists.
She was one of your activists
who had been trained up to bird dogs.
Yes.
So the term bird dogging, you put people in the line. Mm-hmm. At the front, which means they have to get there at 6 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. so they're getting the front mm-hmm. of the rally, so that when Trump comes down the rope line, they're the ones asking him the question in front of the reporters mm-hmm. because they're pre-placed there. To funnel that kind of operation, you have to start back with people 2 weeks ahead of time and train them how to ask questions.
Right.
You have to train them to bird dog.
No, I'm saying, we have mentally ill people that we pay to do shit. Make no mistake. Over the last 20 years, I've paid off a few homeless guys to do some crazy stuff, and I've also taken them for dinner, and I've also made sure they had a hotel and a shower, and I've put them in a program. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done that, but the reality is a lot of, especially in our union guys, a lot of free union guys, they'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
They're rock and roll.
Level
when
up.
I need to get something done in Arkansas,
right.
The first guy I call is the head of the AFL-CIO down there,
uh-huh.
because he will say, what do you need? And I will say, I need a guy who will do this and this, and they find that guy. And that guy will be like, yeah, hell, let's do it.
Bird dogging. Bird dogging. It's a word we had not heard until we got into this investigation. But when we checked the WikiLeaks Clinton emails, we found references to the term in emails to and from the campaign. This is a chain where Clinton campaign manager Robbie Mook suggests it might be a tactic to employ to shore up support with Hispanic voters. After our report, they may also need some help with the people in Iowa and Wisconsin.
So I have to be really honest. Iowa is a difficult case because it's a 50-50 state, and honestly, half the state is racist as fuck. I came home last night and really just, I was upset because that's not the way I was raised, and that's not the Iowa that I grew up in, but you kind of have to accept that that's the way it is. No.
It's not who you are, but that's what the state is.
Right. Wisconsin is just as bad.
Okay.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Corruption. As you can see, it's alive and well in our country, and you're paying for it. As we continue to release more videos, you must hold the mainstream media to account to further investigate what we've uncovered. America, our war is here. We must decide if we're going to save this country or lose it. To quote Abraham Lincoln, America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter or lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves.
This is just a handful of reasons why this will not be solved at the polls. Now, if Trump was doing anything right, he should have a team like these guys had and go into the Hillary Clinton organization and rallies. Fight fire with fire. They need some as they say in the old days, brown shirts. Need some brown shirts dressed in nice suits. I really started out my career in this racial thing by the riots and rallies and fights and speeches and so forth. Yeah, I cut myself on that one because I did it all the time in California. Too bad Trump doesn't hire me to set something up. But I don't think I would. Now get this. Hate crime investigated after LGBT flag torn down from a London church. A hate crime is being investigated by North London in North London after an openly gay vicar had one of his church's LGBT flags removed for the third time. So now it's a hate crime to pull a flag down. Ha! Oh man, a black hate crime. Anti-white slasher arrested for attack on Chelsea at Chelsea Deli, New York PD. Police charged a man Friday in the case of a suspect who made an anti-white comment before slashing a customer at Chelsea Deli last month. Jerry Burser, 26, was arrested and charged with four crimes, with three of them falling under the category of a hate crime, police said. Burser, from Carnassie, Brooklyn, was charged with assault as a hate crime, menacing as a hate crime, and stalking as a hate crime, as well as criminal possession of a weapon, according to police. Police say Burser slashed the wrist of a 40-year-old man with a knife at 6 a.m. inside the Empire Deli on 9th Avenue between West 24th and 25th Street on September 23rd. Burser made what police described as an anti-white statement towards the victim before cutting him. He was also identified as a Hillary Clinton supporter. Boy, some people are really afraid, really afraid. Austria plans to convert and possibly tear down the house Hitler was born in to prevent it from becoming a pilgrimage site for neo-Nazis, said the interior minister. Whoa! Interior Minister Wolfgang Sobotka said on Monday a committee had decided on the demolition of Hitler's house, saying that a thorough architectural remodeling is necessary to permanently prevent the recognition and the symbolism of the building. It scares us to death. What do we run? Run for your lives! Hitler's house is still standing. Ministry spokesman Karl Heinz Grounbeck said that effectively means the house in the western town of Braunau will be replaced by a new structure with a bigger swastika on the front. No, with its intended use likely to be for administrative or charitable purposes. Hitler was born in the large yellow house on April 20th, 1889, a date that is one celebrated by far-right fanatics, you bastards. The building has become an occasional place of pilgrimage for neo-Nazis. Sobotka said he wants to ensure that any association with Hitler is eliminated. Well, you can't eliminate the ground the building sits on, and that will be forever a monument. The building has been lying empty since 2011 when the government became involved in a dispute with the owner and local resident Gerlinde Palmer, who repeatedly refused to sell the building. Wow. It was unclear whether she changed her mind or if the government acted on plans to dispossess her and take it over anyhow.
Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is White Aryan Resistance calling. Right here in north central Indiana, near the P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581.